Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We study the Acts of the Apostles written by Luke in the New Testament. Lesson 9. The second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Soon after the council in Jerusalem, Paul addresses Barnabas with the following suggestion. Come on, let's go on a second journey to visit all the churches we have founded. And Barnabas agrees. But at this time he wants John Mark, his cousin, to come along with them again. And Paul does not want John Mark to come with them again, because he had departed on the first journey, in the middle of the journey. And Barnabas, he is one who builds bridges from one person to another. He wants to give him a second chance. He says, well, he made a mistake, and he wants to show that it was a mistake, that he is now in a better condition. For Paul, this is no theme at all. He will not come with us, Barnabas says, and he will come with us. And in the end, they separate. And two missionary bands are formed. Paul chooses Silas, and Barnabas chooses John Mark, goes to Cyprus, and Paul the way to the churches he has founded on his first journey. Back in Lystra, when we have a look at the map on the small one here, starting point, the same Antioch, and here Tarsus, the hometown of Paul, where he was born, and this time he comes from the east, so not from the south in this direction, as the red lines here, but this violet one, Derbe, Lystra. When they come to Lystra, this is the city where Paul had been stoned. And it should have been his death, of course. And there he finds a young person of a Jewish, a mother who is Jewish, but the father is Greek. And this young man, Timothy, he is just in a condition where Paul says, you come with me. And in Lystra, Timothy has seen how Paul has been stoned. Nevertheless, he wants to come with him. That's interesting, isn't it? And when they go on, now they are three in the missionary band, Paul tries to go to the north, not allowed by the Spirit. Then he wants to go to the west, to the southwest, not allowed. Then he comes to Troas. Now he is at the sea. You can't go on, only by boat. And there he has a vision. And it's interesting what you can read here. During the night, it's in chapter 16, verse 9, during the night Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, Come over to Macedonia and help us. This was a vision. Paul told the others. And next morning, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. And here it is the first time that Luke says, we. So he must have been a member of this missionary band from this time onwards. We got ready to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul and his colleagues, they set out for Europe. Philippi. So there was a small missionary band coming to Europe. Paul had circumcised Timothy because he had a Greek father and wasn't circumcised. And Paul did it so that he could take him to the synagogue and taking him to Jewish communities because Timothy should become a missionary, an assistant of Paul. And when they come to Philippi, Paul's strategy, I attend the synagogue, but there isn't any. There's a new situation. No synagogue in Philippi. Now what to do now? But Paul knows if there are Jewish people, they will meet on Sabbath, although they don't have a synagogue. And they need water. So if there is a group of Jews, they will assemble near the river. So he walks along with his band, riverside, and really, they find a group sitting there, all women. When 10 Jewish men were at one spot, they were allowed to found a Jewish community, religious one, and to build a synagogue. 10 men, it was the minimum. And here, only women, no men. But we hear that when Paul talks to these women there, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She became the first Christian in Europe. Lydia, the first one. And Lydia was a very rich person, had a very fine house, kind of palace. And this missionary band of Paul, they could live there. It was the finest time of their lives. They had never been in such a luxury condition. But soon, everything changed. There in Philippi, Paul and Silas were taken. They were taken captive, brought to jail. They had beaten them, heavily beaten. And it is written that the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, in verse 24, chapter 16, he put them in the inner cell. So the inner cell of the jail, it's the worst one, and fastened their feet in the stocks. rocks. They had been beaten before. Ah, it hurts here, it hurts there. And then, feet in the stocks. You can't move because your feet are fixed. And there they were. What now? It's interesting to see that Paul and Silas started doing something. Complaining about their bad condition? No. What did they do? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. They were singing hymns. Feet in stocks. And they are singing. Suddenly, verse 26, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The foundations, not just the walls. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. So you can run away. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." No one had departed, no one. Paul had told him, "Stay here. Stay here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul tells him, and he, his wife, his children, grown-up children, they are baptized this very night. The next morning, Paul moves on. He is freed. He can leave the jail. What an experience. What God can do, isn't it great? Thessalonican Perea. They move on from Philippi to Thessaloniki, northern Greece. When they come there, the same strategy everywhere, Paul goes to the synagogue, preaches there, as usual. And what is the outcome? Some, when he preached on three Sabbaths, some of the Jews were persuaded, we read in chapter 17, verse 4, and joined Paul and Silas. Some of the Jews, and a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. Interesting. Group, isn't it? A few Jews, a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not too few prominent women. And they are very important because they can talk to their husbands. And this opens doors. But the Jews were jealous, we read. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. The aim? To throw Paul out of the city and Silas. Yeah, the Disciples, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. It was too dangerous to stay in Thessaloniki. Nowadays, those in Berea, these Bereans, when Paul arrived there and went to the Jewish synagogue, they were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This is interesting. They are not just open-minded, okay, Paul has said it, I believe. No. They read. If it is really so, they study the scriptures. And they are not like hard-minded Jews who close their heart, their mind. No, can't be, don't want to listen. They are interested. They study the texts in the Bible. And then they come to a conclusion. It is true. They are different than to the ones in Thessaloniki. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, what did they do? They went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. And Paul went on, and he's escorted by brothers. They brought him to Athens. They did not want to leave till he was there. And then Paul is waiting for Silas and Timothy to come to Athens, and he walks around. Northern Creek and Southern Creek is different, very different. And Paul could see this very quickly. Paul in Athens. Athens was the center of the intellectual Greek people. It was the center of education, of the universities, and they were very proud about this. We are the wisest on earth. They were the philosophers. And they just walked around and discussed. And they were always interested in getting news. News, that was important. Have you got anything new for me? Now, when Paul came there, he was shocked. Because we read it in chapter 17, verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So the Greek, they were perfect in using their hammers and creating out of stone a figure. Of stone, a figure. No one else in the world has ever made it better than the Greeks 2,000 years ago. They were masters in designing idols out of stone. When you look at the artificial design, you just say, wow. But when you think about a false religion, you say, oh, nonsense. And Ball is distressed, greatly distressed. So many idols, what to do about it? Now he had two strategies. He went to the synagogue, preached to the Jews, as usual. And during the day, daily, in the marketplace, he talked to the Greek people, the highly educated ones, the intellectual class, the cream of society in education. And some said, this stranger, what could he tell us? We are the ones, we are the best in intellect. But some said, oh, it seems you teach us about new gods. Come on, get a chance. Give us a lesson. We want to hear. And they took him up to the Areopagus. It was the place where such meetings took place. And then Paul starts in chapter 17, verse 23. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription. To an unknown God. To an unknown God. Now, what you worship is something unknown. I am going to proclaim to you. This is a wonderful introduction. Wisdom from above. The unknown God. I tell you about the unknown God. They were full of curiosity. And they wanted to know, who is this unknown God? And Paul, he talks to them, the Lord, the God who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. Greek idols lived in temples. The unknown God does not live in temples. Interesting. And after his sermon, when he talked about Jesus and resurrection from the dead, they stopped him teaching. Then when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, others said, we want to hear you again in this subject. And then Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Tamaris, and a number of others. Paul in Corinth. Not far from Athens is Corinth. So in Europe we have Philippi, Thessaloniki, Berea, Athens, Corinth. Athens, the city of the educated people, the professionals. Here in Corinth is a harbor. Ships coming, leaving, arriving, going away. Much economy and many, many different tongues and nations. There in this harbor, people from everywhere come together. It's a mixture of tongues. And Paul, he goes to the synagogue. And there he meets Aquila and Priscilla. And they have the same profession. We read, because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And what's really astonishing, the ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, and his entire household, they believed in the Lord. The ruler of the synagogue, imagine, this was for the first time that Paul had such an experience. The first man of the synagogue, he believes, he becomes a Christian. That happened in Corinth. Great, isn't it? Many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Many. So it was different to Athens. The people in Athens, they were too proud of their intellect than just to believe. And resurrection of the dead, they had never heard before, no. But here in Corinth, they were more open. But wherever Paul was, the dark side of the people, they wanted to get rid of him. But in a vision, during the night, just when Paul was about to leave, because it had become dangerous, God said to him, that's great. And we read this in verse 9. What did God say? Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Why not? For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you. Paul had feared that someone might attack him. Therefore he wanted to leave. And God says, I am with you. No one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half. Nowhere else. We have such a long time up to this point. Later on, in Ephesus, he stayed 3 years. And here, 1 year and a half. But in all the other towns, it was just about weeks. A month was long, because then he was driven away. Stones flew. In the end, he moves on again. Corinth, a big church was founded. Summary. Second missionary journey. It starts with a sharp dispute between Paul and Barnabas about John Mark. And in the end, they separate. We are shocked, aren't we? But then there are two missionary bands. Paul and Barnabas going to Cyprus. Paul and Silas. Second missionary journey. In Lystra, Timothy comes to them. He will be circumcised by Paul, that he can work in the Jewish community. And then for some days and weeks, Paul doesn't know where to go. North, south, west, where should I attempt to? And then he comes to Troas, and there he gets to vision. So for some time he's uncertain, where should I be? where should I go to? But after this vision, when in this vision the Macedonian man calls to him, come over, help us. This was easy to understand. This was no parable. Come over and help us. So they came to Europe. In Philippi, the first woman of Europe, became a believer, Lydia. And they went on to Thessaloniki. Soon they had to leave there, in Berea. The Bereans, they started. If it was really so, as Paul had told. They looked at all the texts. They looked it up all. But the bad ones in Thessaloniki, they came over to Berea to drive Paul away. And he came to Athens. The strategy in Athens is interesting. How can you address secular people who are so proud of their intellect, of their education? And how can you address people who think they are the wisest on earth? What could you tell them? But they are interested in news. And when he found this altar to the unknown God, this was his introduction. This is very, very clever. And he talked about God who does not live in temples. But he made everything. He is the only true God. And he has sent his son. And his son was crucified in Jerusalem. But when he talked about the resurrection of the dead Christ, they stopped him. That was beyond the horizon. They did not want to go farther. But a man of the Areopagus, Dionysius, he stayed to Paul. So in every city, there is at least one who is willing to listen. At least one. But there were more than one. And then he came to Corinth. This town, this city, was very different from Athens. So many tongues. So many different people from all the Roman Empire. They met there. And he could stay there for 1 year and a half, and a big, big church could be founded. And there, in Corinth, he had this vision. Stay, fear not. I have many, many people here who will come and will believe. That's so interesting to see. God knows this person, this. They will come. It takes some time. Stay. Do not leave. And do not be afraid. Nobody can attack you. Nobody can do you any harm. I protect you. Stay. Do not be afraid. What a vision. That is our God. In the right moment, the right vision. Just when Paul was about to make a mistake and leave too early. This is our God. He leads. He guides. And he will act like this in your life too. If you are together with him daily, studying his word, listening to his word, obeying his word, be sure